Today's message is going to be the tale of two gardens, and we do have two passages, actually, from Genesis chapter 3 and the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 19, and I'll be reading from you from the Gospel of John 19, verses 41 and following. So please all rise as we read the Word of God. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was closed at hand, they laid Jesus there. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to him, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciples, and they were going toward the tomb. And both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Again, the message is going to be on a tale of two gardens, and I'm going to be preaching from Genesis as well as the Gospel of John in the given passage. You know, when I was a kid, every spring around this time, we would plant seeds and seedlings in the backyard. And every subsequent fall or late summer, there was plenty of vegetables. Years later, I visited the same backyard, and nothing growing there except for weeds and scattered grass. I actually tried to plant some more seeds and seedlings, but this time there was no vegetables to pick. Why? The soil was harder. The weeds were more abundant, and water was more scarce. In reflection, I thought, too bad I couldn't reverse and go back to the time where there was plenty of vegetables. A tale of two gardens. This morning I wanted to tell you a tale of two gardens, and it's not in my backyard, but it's in the Word of the Lord. A tale of two gardens, one in the book of Genesis, the other in the Gospel of John. In the book of Genesis, you may be familiar with this garden, otherwise known as the Garden of Eden. This was a garden paradise. There's plenty of colorful plants, which means plenty of juicy fruits and flowers among the plants and the trees. Plenty of animals. Plenty of sun. This particular garden was a land of plenty. And when Adam and Eve were there, they soaked it all in. They soaked in all the sights, tasted all the pleasures in the garden. And of course, they enjoyed the relationship with God. Until one day. Until one day, deceived by the serpent, even Eve took the bite. Adam also took the bite of the forbidden fruit from the tree of life. And things drastically change. What were the results of their disobedience to God? There was a couple of things. One, there was now a broken relationship with God. And how do we know? They hid from God. They felt ashamed, and so there was this disconnect with God. Another thing that happened, there was a brokenness in the balance in creation. This one act of disobedience affected the entire creation. The perfect balance and peace that existed between humanity and the natural world was now ruined. And as a result of their banishment, there was now weeds and worries, thorns and thistles, sweat and stress, all because of the results of the fall. Now, there was one other thing that was also happened, and that is the relationships were strained. If you flip the pages of the book of Genesis, you find that tensions became more apparent. Life became more tragic, and death became more evident. And so what a tumble. What a fall from that first garden. Friends, can you imagine regrets? Regrets of Adam and Eve? Just think of for a moment. Put yourself in their shoes. Adam and Eve had it so good in the garden. So good in the Garden of Eden, and now there are thorns and thistles. Now there are stress and strain. Can you picture Adam after toiling the land, trying to cultivate the vegetables, the fruits, and all of a sudden he has this drop of sweat off his brow? Can you imagine what he felt? The regrets that he felt? Or think about Eve, what she went through and experienced that very first pain in childbirth. And not only that, their relationship with God was not the same. Not accessible as it once was. Regrets? Oh yeah. There were plenty. You know, we may have regrets too as well. Have you ever regretted careless words? Careless words when sometimes we speak in anger, hurting someone, even a loved one, or even speak in the heat of the moment, and even insulting the God that we love. Have you ever regretted a careless act? Instead of avoiding temptation, you give in to temptation? You ever regret a careless thought? Where you thought bitterly, and it kept on festering and festering, and then you became bittered. And now you regret about a friendship now turned sour. Or how about careless living that led to now quite a distance between you and God? Friends, when sin happens, regrets happen too. And there's a somber note of what happened in that very first garden. I told you I was going to tell you about two gardens. One in the book of Genesis, the other in the Gospel of John. There, in the Gospel of John, there is this garden. And it's actually by the gravesite. It's not uncommon to have a vineyard or a patch of olive trees in the vicinity. And in our text, Mary Magdalene comes through the garden to the gravesite. Back in the day, we have to realize that the graves were not a plot in the ground, but in a carved tomb. And to get to this tomb, you would have to go through the garden. Now, previously, or the previous days, Mary Magdalene witnessed the horrors of the crucifixion. She was there. She heard the pounding of nails that went through Jesus' hand and feet. She saw visually, saw the bruises and the punctured marks upon Jesus' body. And she also saw the blood that flowed from Jesus' head. She smelled death, because that's what happened to Jesus on the cross. Scripture tells us in our text that on the first day of the week, while it was still dark and early, Mary had brought the embalming salt, spices, and as she approached the gravesite, she saw that the large stone from the tomb had been rolled away, and so she was frightened. She was frightened in fear, and she initially thought that there must have been a grave robber. However, after Simon Peter and the other disciple, as we know as John, came to verify, they looked in and they saw the grave clothes, the linen cloth that once had been on Jesus, neatly laid in a very nice pile. Mary's still thinking that Jesus' body was stolen. And then the angel spoke, said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Jesus would say the same thing. And even after turning around to Jesus, she's still thinking that same thought. Until Jesus called her name, Mary. Friends, the resurrection. Rejoice, he is risen. The resurrection changed everything. Jesus conquered the grave, and what he did was he reversed the story of the cursed. Jesus was victorious over death, and he stood in that garden, in the gravesite, and spoke Mary's name. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference in the two garden accounts? The two garden accounts, one in Genesis, the other in the Gospel of John. One ended in a very somber note. And now in this Gospel account, a very joyous occasion. Rejoice, he is risen. At the garden by the gravesite, the resurrection had taken place. A reversal had happened. Let us remember, in that very first garden, when sin and death had entered, Adam and Eve hid from God. And in that cool of the evening, God had called out to them, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" And there was no response. Why? Adam and Eve had hid from God. Why did they hide? They were afraid of God. But now we think about that second garden. In the gospel account where the promise has been fulfilled, the resurrection is happening, and notice upon hearing her name, Mary runs to Jesus. She clutches Jesus. And she's still crying, but this time it's tears of joy and tears of relief. The resurrection changed everything. God reversed that alienation that happened in the previous garden. When God called for Adam and Eve, they hid. And in this garden by the graveside, when Jesus called Mary's name, she came running to Jesus. Friends, consider this. We are either hiding from God or we come to the feet of Jesus. When we sin, we hide. When we sin, we regret. When we sin, we certainly hope that nobody notices. And when we sin, we try to get away from it all, even from God. But friends, the resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection changes everything. You see, when Jesus is calling you, you come by faith. When Jesus calls you by your name, you come running. When Jesus enters your life with grace and mercy and peace, you clutch to his precious promise like never before. And then when you realize the presence of Christ, the power of Christ, the passion of Jesus Christ in your life, you too will be shedding tears of joy and relief. I'm telling you, you are either hiding from God or coming to Jesus. Which one are you today? Are you hiding or are you coming to Jesus? When you come to Jesus, you understand that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Scripture tells that he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible also said, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so, friends, I'm asking, are you ready? Are you ready to come out of hiding, ready to come to Jesus? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The resurrection changed everything. God reversed the alienation from God to provide reconciliation to God. But also notice that he reversed the isolation to provide community. Notice what Jesus said next to Mary. Go. Go to my brothers. And where are the brothers? They were probably hiding in some room. But what Jesus wanted Mary was to bring them out. Was to bring them together. And bring them so they would all come together. When we encounter Jesus, like Mary, he's bringing us to the Father. He's bringing us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But you may say, well, you know, the disciples that were there, weren't they together at least in the same room? And the other scripture accounts, yes, they were, but they were together in fear. And that's why Jesus said, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. The message is telling them to both have confidence in God and confidence in the promise of his word. Jesus desired to see them again. He desired to reanimate their courage like never before. To reestablish their faith and fellowship like never before. To reinvigorate their passion for God like never before. And brothers and sisters, when we trust Jesus like never before, when we stand on his promises like never before, we will see the effects of a dynamic that will happen in our fellowship with one another like never before. 4. You know, interesting, in this resurrection appearance, in this garden by the gravesite, Jesus is standing in front of a woman. And remember, in the first garden, there was a woman named Eve. She was the first to be seen. In that first garden, she was deceived by the serpent's lies, his deception, and subsequently bit of the fruit, forbidden fruit of the tree of life. Adam listened to the voice, voice of his wife, also bit of the forbidden fruit. And both Adam and Eve were deceived. And both Adam and Eve defied God. Now, in the Gospel of John, there's another woman. Her name is Mary, Mary Magdalene. She is not deceived in this account, and it's all because of Jesus. He appeared to her. And all the lies she had been told and even thought about, Jesus turned it away. Jesus showed her the truth of the resurrection. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, I am the way and the truth and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. He then tells her to go and tell the brothers the truth. So do you see this connection? Do you see this trajectory from one garden to the other garden? From Genesis to John? Remember in Genesis, God had sent up an angel to guard after the banishment happened with a flaming sword. No one to enter. In this garden, in John, we have the angels welcoming, telling her, and you can take a look at the Mark account, that he is risen. One woman deceived in Genesis, and one woman believed in the Gospel of John. Speaking of Mary, do you know her background? She's briefly mentioned, but in the Gospel of Luke, she was previously possessed by not one, not two, not even three, but by 7 demons. She was in the occult. It said in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus traveled the path to cities and villages, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. And it was on that one occasion that he met Mary and others, and he healed Mary and others of the evil spirits and infirmities. And they immediately followed him. They followed Jesus. Jesus chose Mary, rescued Mary, and picked Mary for this occasion to go and to tell the brothers. And Mary did tell the brothers that he is risen, that he is alive. She did tell the disciples who told the brothers, who told the other brothers and sisters, who told friends, who told family members, who told fellow countrymen, travelers, foreigners, who told people from year to year, decades to decades, centuries to centuries, to even somebody who told me, and I am telling you, that Jesus is risen. He is alive. And that Jesus saved. Jesus reversed the story. Jesus reversed the story of deception to now the story of reconciliation. Jesus used the least likely, a former demonized, deceived woman, to help change the world. This gospel story becomes central in our ministry of reconciliation. And friends, we got a story to tell. A story to tell the nations. A story of glory, all about Christ. All because of Christ. Tell the gospel story. Tell it often. And tell it well. A tale of two gardens. One resulted in exile. the other resulted in exaltation. Christ the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. One garden resulted in banishment, separation. The other garden resulted in reconciliation, community. The first one, from the garden to the grave. The second, from the grave to the garden. Paradise lost, eternal life gained. It's all because of Christ. All in Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we are very familiar with that hymn, that old hymn that says, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes." He chose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we contemplate, Father, both the death and resurrection of Christ, Father, we realize that death has died, love has won, and Jesus Christ has conquered. Father, death has no longer a sting, and the power of hell is broken. And now the message was sent to all evil principalities: you lose. Christ has won. Father, we know and we praise that our Jesus is now glorified, that he is lifted up forever and ever. And so, Father, as we come before, we know that, Father, there is victory in Christ. Father, you have gathered us, Father, to worship you. But it doesn't stop there, Father. Not only do you want us to worship, not only do you only beckon us, Father, to come to your feet, but also you beckon us, Father, to go to the world. Father, help us to remember there are people out there in our neighborhoods. There are people out there, even in the places that we're going to eat tonight, whether in our homes, whether at relatives, or even in restaurants. There are people who have yet to know and yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray, Father, for their salvation. We do pray, Father, that you reveal to them, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross, Father, for them. That they would understand, Father, the human dilemma that they have sinned and fallen short. And it's only by your mercy, that they could receive the forgiveness and the reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we do pray. And Father, help us to realize, Father, we can live very purposefully here. And not only worshiping you, but living a life to win others for Christ. Father, we give you all the thanks and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.